What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Beat. Trevor Ray, Justin Fensterman coming to you as always in Washington, D.C. Well, just half of us, because as we're starting to find out this normal trend, Justin is a jet settler, a traveler of the world, no longer in Roanoke, no longer in D.C. This week up in the NYC. Justin, how we doing?
We're doing well, Trev. I miss you, man. It's good to be on the beat, though. We got to help everybody out. Football, baseball, basketball. We do it all. A little bit of hockey, and you can email Trev directly with the hockey. I can help you a little bit, but it's going to be a stat-related answer. But doing well, Trev. How you doing?
Well, you know, we got. I heard you went to a little basketball game last night. I saw you on a little television last night.
You saw me on TV. Wow, that's because I was two rows behind the I almost said New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets bench, Trev. I was not only watching the game, my father and I were in the huddle, literally in the huddle. And one thing we did notice, Jason Kidd does not coach the Brooklyn Nets. No, no, no. You would think he coaches the Brooklyn Nets, but when your team's down 10, 15, 20 the entire game, and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, not saying anything except go team, go in the huddle, that's a bit of a problem. And I think Mr. Kidd might be a little in over his head.
Well, really, that's interesting, Justin. So you've seen firsthand, you don't really trust so far in Jason Kidd's coaching abilities, and you think that's part of the reason the Nets have been so terrible?
Absolutely. Now, you can say the other reason is because, especially last night, Jason Terry was out, Kirilenko was out, Darren Williams was out, Paul Pierce was out. But still, to not really show up as the Nets just were not driving to the hole on the Knicks, especially with the Knicks having Tyson Chandler out. I do not know why Jason Kidd didn't change his plays to going more inside and banging the inside. Andrea Bargnani made Kevin Garnett look like a chump last night. It was unbelievable. These are things you're not supposed to be seeing in basketball. But we saw them, and they refused to go inside. Their outside shots were not working. And I'm talking about players like Sean Livingston, who are coming in and playing decent minutes at times. Joe Johnson playing decent minutes. But Joe Johnson was completely out of sync. And when Joe Johnson's not on, that's a big problem. And from a fantasy perspective, that's why you have to be careful when you're training for a player whose really main purpose is to score points. You have to watch those percentages, not just for the season, Trev, but in general for a week or two. If Joe Johnson's shooting 36% for 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to give some kind of low ball offer. I'm going to try to get him out of there as soon as possible. That's the problem with going after strict shooters. That's why, as we always say, Trev, you need to go after players that will help you minimally in multiple categories. That's how you get security on your team, depth, and that's how you'll win a championship.
Well, Justin, since we last talked to our Fantasy Beat listeners, there was one major injury. I mean, there's been lots of injuries, but one really major injury so far, and that's Anthony Davis, a guy that, you know, he's been looking great so far this season, averaging a double-double, getting you almost four blocks a game on average. I mean, the guy's been a freak all season, now going to miss a substantial amount of time, probably 4 to 6 weeks with his fracture. And I got to know, Justin, what are you feeling about Anthony Davis? I mean, do you think he can continue his progression as a dominant player once he gets back? Are you worried about him breaking his hand? You know, is this one of those things that you think this is a good time to try to trade for him and just set him on your bench? What are your thoughts on Anthony Davis and this injury that we've had? What do you suggest to our Fantasy Beat listeners?
Well, normally with the big guys, Trev, you got to worry about their knees and shoulders. And Anthony Davis injuring his hand, he didn't injure either one. So I'm very secure in saying for Anthony Davis, owner, stash him on your bench for now. He leads the Pelicans in three different categories, at least two categories, especially 3.5 blocks per game. So if you own Anthony Davis, here's what you do. You look on your waiver wire and you look at players like Al-Farouq Aminu. You look at a player like Greg Stiensma. If you need a replacement immediately, Stiensma and Al-Farouq Aminu are going to be getting a lot more minutes. Ryan Anderson's been playing over 35 minutes a game, so he's not going to be getting too much more. But now that Anthony Davis is out, the rest of the team, even Jeff Whitley is going to have to play more minutes. I'm not saying pick up Jeff Whitley. I'm not saying pick up Lance Thomas. But take a look at a player like Greg Stiensma, who can come off your bench, give you a few rebounds, maybe a block a game, and that will help somewhat. Anthony Davis, if you really want to trade Anthony Davis, do not trade him for a low ball offer. He is the number one fantasy option this season. I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP of the league, but he's the number one based off statistics and how many categories he helps in and how much help in those categories he gets. He has been the number one fantasy option all season long. So if you're going to trade Anthony Davis, you better be getting quite a package because he's going to be back in 5-6 weeks, Trev. And guess what? He's going to be great. He's going to be blocking shots for you, getting rebounds, which you really need to rely mostly on Anthony Davis for, and also scoring you about 20 points per game as almost a bonus because he's so big and massive inside. So I say hold on to Anthony Davis. Be patient. It's a long season. This isn't football. You have to be patient. Remember, you're getting 82 games worth of fantasy action, and he's going to be missing maybe around 8, 9, maybe around 15 games at the most. That's okay, because when he's in there, the return you're going to get is going to still propel you to the playoffs.
One of the guys that you just mentioned that I've been really impressed with since Anthony Davis has gone down with his injury, it was Ryan Anderson. You said his minutes can't really improve much, but I think his role in the offense and his role with the team has increased. I mean, you look at it since Anthony Davis has gone down, he's put up 31 points, 36 points, 18 points. He's in the 18-point game, he had 14 rebounds. Two of those three games, he was able to knock down 7 3-pointers. This is a guy that kind of hits almost every category for you, Justin. Do you really think that now that Anthony Davis is down, that Ryan Anderson can step up and kind of fill that void in the offense at least?
I think from the outside and from a shooting perspective, yes, because if you look at Ryan Anderson's stats this year, he's been hitting 4 threes a game and shooting about close to 8, shooting over almost 53% from beyond the arc, and in general from the field, 49%. So that's definitely positive. He can get you points, averaging 6.3 rebounds. That's 0.1 behind Al-Farouq Aminu on the team with Anthony Davis out in terms of your rebounding leader. So it's almost like Trevi's forced to be put in that position. My one problem with Ryan Anderson is this. You mentioned the 14 rebound game he had. He plays so much from the outside, and he's such an outside player who works inside. But if his three is rolling, he's going to stay out there, and he's going to camp out beyond the arc, and he's going to keep hitting threes. Why is that a problem? Because then he's not going to get you all those rebounds. So it's all, you know, he'll help you in your 3-point percentage, your field goal percentage, your points. Definitely, he'll give you a ton of help. He scores the most points on a team with 22 a game. However, if you're looking for him to become the Anthony Davis style rebounder and all of a sudden average 10 rebounds a game, then you're asking for too much. However, I agree with you, Trev. Ryan Anderson has played very well this season, and in shooting percentages and points, 3-category help player, I want him on my team.
All right, Justin, let's go talk about somebody else that we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't at least talk about it. There's somebody that's supposed to be making their debut on Sunday. The Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, 35-year-old Laker, inks a new deal, and now it's looking like he might be able to come and make his debut on Sunday, coming back from that Achilles injury. Justin, do you trust Kobe? What do you expect from Kobe? Do you think he's going to be slowly integrated back? Do you think he comes back and just pushes it? What are your thoughts on Kobe Bryant, his return, and his value the rest of the way?
I think that his value is the same as Kobe Bryant's value every year, and that's that he's no matter what. If he can walk, if he can play, if he has a pulse, he is going to be shooting. That's Kobe Bryant. He's earned his spot on that team. He's a made guy, like in mobs. You can't kill the made guy unless you get permission from everybody else in the copper regime of the mob. You have to trust in him because right now they lost Jordan Farmer. They've been rotating a bunch of guards, the Lakers. Steve Blake's done tremendous, by the way, in both guard positions, I must say. Swaggy P. Nick Young has also done pretty well, scoring 14 a game. But that's the problem. You look at the points percentage, and guess what? You have Pau Gasol with 14. You have Nick Young with 14. Meeks with 13. Blake with 10. Once Kobe comes back, he's getting all those shots back. So Kobe Bryant's playing. He is going to be heavily involved in this offense. Maybe the first game he gets a little bit of a minutes restriction because you have to be careful. You have to remember he's going to be a bit sore. His hammies will tighten up. That's just what happens when you're in a constant stop and start motion after being on the bench for that long. And I know he's been practicing, but Trev, I think Kobe Bryant's going to be the piece to this offense. I think that when you see him come in, Nick Young is not going to be getting as many shots. Jody Meeks is not going to be getting as many shots. Steve Blake's not going to score as much. Kobe, his throne is safe. His throne is empty, and it's waiting for him for Sunday.
All right, Justin, let's go ahead and switch it back, because not only was there a few basketball games last night, there was a little football game last night.
Well, football. football game. You gotta love fantasy football, Trev. It's playoff time, except for those who had the 14 qualifiers for playoffs. Then they're still in the last week of their season. And if you're playing in, I'm just saying this, Trev. If you're playing in week 17, you shouldn't even be playing fantasy. What are your thoughts on that?
Get out of that league. Let's go in with this. Justin, we love our listeners. We love everyone that takes time to listen to this podcast. If you are in a league and have been for several years that continues to play on week 17, go ahead and press pause. We don't want you. Period.
Wow. Reject.
It's so dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Now, if you're in a roto-style league, that's obviously a little bit different. But outside of that, it makes zero sense.
Right. And that's, I don't understand it because a lot of people want their championships to be 2 weeks, but week 16 and week 17 are so astronomically different with playoff implications, and that's where fantasy meets reality. So to go back to the game last night, Trev, you know what? Yeah, I was very, very surprised to see a 27-20 score. I'm just happy that even though that my guy Maurice Jones-Drew did not score, still put up a hell of an effort with 103 rushing yards and even two receptions for 20 yards. That gave me about 13.5 points, Trev.
Yeah, in PPRs, you were looking anywhere from about 12 to 15 points, depending on your scoring system and how it's all set up. You don't expect much when you got Chad Henne at the helm, but this Jaguars offense is seemingly finding ways to score touchdowns and finding ways to kind of stay alive, if you will, and show a glimmer of hope. These last few weeks, MJD is looking more true to form. However, there was the injury last night. He did leave that game early. All our MJD owners have got to keep an eye on his status going forward. Obviously, this week won't be a concern, but going forward, you have to be concerned, making sure that MRI comes back clean. If not, you're going to have to look for another option. I don't know if Todman last night, who ended up filling in most of the snaps when MJD went down, if he will be the permanent option, but it's definitely a situation that all of our listeners have got to keep their eye on.
No, absolutely. And with MJD, he was doing so well, too, after starting off the season so poorly.
So poorly. Ugh.
Yeah, and, we heard it, Trev, we heard it everywhere, that even the touchdown he threw impacted playoff standings or final season standings. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, and it's, it's just like this week. Now we have Ace Sanders throwing a touchdown pass. Like, the trickery is continuing with Jacksonville. They're finding ways to actually be creative for a change and finding ways to score with an offense that doesn't have much talent. But another guy that was in that game that does have a lot of talent, and I continue to be more and more impressed with him, is Cecil Shorts. This is a guy that has really come on last year, continued to kind of be a good PPR option, a good receiver three or flex option, depending on, what your status is. But another guy that's on this Jacksonville team that's slowly beginning to emerge,
Absolutely. And at the beginning of the season, Trev, outside of MJD, it seemed like Cecil Shorts was the only player that was, quote-unquote, draftable, now draft-worthy. Now he's finally giving in a bit of a return. He's doing very well. You see it more in the stats. He's appearing more in the highlights especially. And that's what I love seeing when I see players who haven't been there and now slowly coming back. Cecil Shorts has been good, and he's right now one of the reliable options, even though Mercedes Lewis is also producing.
That's what's also crazy. I mean, who would have thought that old guy's going to continue to catch passes? But, Justin, I want to hit on another topic that's kind of important to me in the standpoint that it always gets brought up at this time of the year. This is the first time that we're really having to deal with it this season much, and that is the weather. Especially in these playoff situations, we have a lot of people that tinker with their lineups. They're throwing guys in their bench. They're looking at these guys on the waiver wire. Are they good enough to pick up and start? How is their matchup? How is this matchup? How much do you put in weight, stock into it's supposed to be raining, it's supposed to be cold, it's supposed to be windy. Do bad conditions affect your lineup much?
My decisions aren't too impacted by the weather, Trev. Naturally, I think twice when I see a more pass-happy team, a quarterback who likes to throw in windy and rainy conditions. However, Trev, I look at it on both sides because the flip side of it is that the other side, the defenders, are going to have those same issues as well. So let's say you have a player like A.J. Green. It's not going to cause me to bench A.J. Green, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And if I'm going to be that paranoid that I'm not going to start a stud like him, even if it's the weather conditions aren't that great.
What about a non-stud, though? What about one of those guys that, you usually start, Stevie Johnson over Tyquan Underwood. But this week, I guess they're playing each other, so it's a bad example. But you know what I'm saying. If in previous weeks, You've got guys that are kind of close to each other. One's got a bad matchup, but you usually start him over the other guy. You know, like, here's a perfect example, Justin. In one of my playoff leagues I've got going on this week, I've got RG3 going, but then there's also Flacco and Glennon out on the waiver wire. Problem is Flacco's weather is going to look like it's going to be bad. RG3 hasn't been playing very well lately. And then there's Glennon, who's been all right, that's in better weather, but on a normal situation, I never touch Glennon over those two guys.
Well, I'm glad you brought up quarterbacks, because I feel like with quarterbacks, it is the most make or break. I feel like receivers, it'll take a few plays, but then, and running backs, everyone else, it'll take them, you know, a few
minutes. I feel like it can help running backs sometimes. If it's bad weather, if it's going to be rainy and mucky and disgusting out there, I feel like you get back to that old school football a lot more, where the ball gets handed off a lot more, you know?
Absolutely, and Trev, I'm going to say something I really don't say too much, and that's, you're right, quarterback that makes a major, major impact. So, Trev, if I have Joe Flacco and he's in bad weather conditions, I'm a little bit nervous about starting him, especially because it's Joe Flacco. It's not like it's – I'd start –
But
Brady,
Flacco's also got a cannon. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that always comes into my consideration too. Like, you know, is it a guy like – you know, a Chad Henne that's, you know, doesn't throw the ball deep very much, that throws, you know, is more of a game manager. You know, is it Christian Ponder who's throwing, you know, 5 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards? Those guys I worry about a little bit more because they don't have the arm strength. But when it comes to a guy like Joe Flacco, who's got a cannon for an arm at least, I almost wonder, you know, can he throw through the wind? And that's what I'm saying. I feel like the weather, especially when it starts to snow, especially when the wind starts to pick up, especially when it starts to get, you know, down in the 20s or 30s, that can affect games, you know?
Absolutely, and that's because, as well, Trev, we got to mention visibility and fog as well. Remember, when the humidity is at 100%, you are going to get, and it's in that 90 to 100% area, you are going to get a lot of fog, especially if it just rained the previous night. So the visibility itself and not being able to see down the field drastically can affect the quarterback.
Always important, whether you make a change or not, to always pay attention to the weather, especially this time of the year. So a lot of situations are looking like they could be pretty nasty this week, especially in the East Coast, Northeast. So make sure if you've got any players out there, Fantasy Beat listeners, that are playing in a matchup that's got bad weather, keep an eye on it. You know what? It may end up being fine. These things change almost on the hour, it seems like. It seems like the weathermen can never give us an accurate prediction. However, when I'm seeing 90% chance of rain in Baltimore during the time of game time, it makes me a little concerned, and something our Fantasy Beat listeners definitely got to keep an eye on.
Absolutely, Trev. You know, I'm glad you brought up that point, because especially for quarterback, I would say out of any position, it definitely affects them most. And like you were saying, you know, any condition, you know, with fog or rain or snow, it's going to affect their pattern and who they're seeing down the field.
And how they usually run their offense, and they're not going to be as comfortable. And you got to put these, you know, I don't think, as we're talking about it, like, I don't think you put a whole lot of weight into it. I don't think that you bench, like you were saying, you don't just bench DeSean Jackson because he's going to be in a bad weather game for Tyquan Underwood, who's going to be in a better weather game and has been playing decent lately, and we've been talking about him. But just because we've been talking about him doesn't mean that you start this guy over your studs. Like you said, Justin, your studs are still your studs. You play your studs whether it's bad weather or not. But it's kind of some of these receiver three options or flex options or, you know, a lower tier running back number two. You know, do you throw a Bobby Rainey in ahead of somebody that's got a bad weather matchup? You know, you have to look at these things. Always important Sunday morning when you're setting your lineup to double check all of these factors if you want to win your first week of playoffs, you know?
Absolutely, and Trev, I'm just going to bring this up very quickly. You and I actually have an interesting predicament in one of our leagues, because four teams make the playoffs. Two and pretty much you. Mathematically, you're not clinched, but you're pretty much clinched.
Outside of about a 400-point game out of the guy in fifth place, I think I should be solid.
Right, so I'm in fourth place right now in this league, and I am not clinched. I need to win. If I don't win, can I still make it point differential? Possibly. But you know what? If I need to beat you, Trev, otherwise
you might be
kicking me out of the playoffs.
Who are you playing?
I am playing the Blazing Clones, Trevor Ray, this week.
Don't expect to win there, big guy.
So
Justin, on the Fantasy Beat right here, should I let you set two of my questionable lineups and I'll let you choose your own fate?
No.
Yep, that's what we're going to do right now. Justin,
you set your lineup your way. I already had an underperformance from Ben Tate, who got me 7.5 points.
So wouldn't you trust yourself well enough that wouldn't you pick the guy that you know is going to do not as well You know, and I will start that. I will not switch it up, Justin. You have my 100% honest reaction here. I will give you whoever you want out of these options. You could start Joe Flacco or RG3. You could start CJ Spiller, Stevie Johnson, or Bobby Rainey. You can choose between those two options. Who am I starting at quarterback, Justin?
Wow, you're seriously letting me make this decision.
100%. I will leave it whatever you have, unless of course there's some sort of injury right before kickoff or something.
Okay.
So Robert Griffin or Joe Flacco.
All right, let's let you start RG3.
Okay, RG3 will be started. Now for CJ Spiller in the flex spot, we go in CJ Spiller, Stevie Johnson, or Bobby Rainey.
Man, let's go Bobby Rainey. If you're really going to let me make this decision for you.
Yep.
Let's go Bobby Rainey.
Bobby Rainey and RG3 are in my lineup, and it is set. Justin, you have just picked your opponent's lineup, so I hope you I hope you lose now.
Not the full lineup, though, Trev. But you know what? From one fantasy co-host to the other, Trev, you know, at the end of the day, we're one unit. We want to win. But, hell, I got to get into that playoff, Trev, and you're already in. So if you want to bench your entire team and help a brother out, go for it, man.
Hey, I'm trying to help a brother out. I'm leading the horse to water. I need you to drink it. I let you set my lineup.
Can you take Rob Gronkowski out of your lineup?
I don't even have a backup tight end, Justin. That's not going to happen.
You can find one on the waiver wire.
Man, you are sounding uber pathetic and scared right now.
I'm scared, man. Your team. I'm going to say it. Your team is the most deadly in this league. I know the one who knocks is in first place right now, and I just beat his ass. But at the same time, Trev, your team puts up a tremendous amount of points, and you're coming off a 200-plus point outing. So if you want to bench a few of your players and keep a few empties in there, I really appreciate it, man.
I know you'd appreciate it. I don't think the rest of the league would appreciate it. I hope our Fantasy Beat listeners appreciated me letting you set my lineup and showing, you know, a little bit of the fact that I just don't care, Justin, because I'm going to beat you either way. That's how good my team is. So this is going to be another edition of the Fantasy Beat. We hooked you up.
You're going to lose.
We're going to hook you up with some fantasy hoops. We hooked you up with your fantasy football. And Justin hooked me up with my winning lineup that's going to beat him and knock him out of the playoffs. This has been another episode.
I don't know about that.
This has been another episode of the Fantasy Beat.